We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 487, game one of the... I was almost going to say wild card. I'm losing track already of the series ALDS recap. Brought to you today by DoorDash and BetOnline. Yankees bats are staying hot. Scott, what's up?
Look, man, they've figured something out. The matchup was pretty decent. Well, you know, obviously all right-handed bats against Snell. I had a feeling we were gonna have some success against him, but yeah, I mean, not like this. Not like the Slam Diego Padres that are took the National League by storm out there. It's home cooking, I guess, for Giancarlo Stanton. Loving the in the post-game interview, I was listening to him. He's like, gotta love that California air. Dude hit a huge home run. That was a massive home run. And you know, I was happy when they went up and they got that fifth run. And they had a little two-run cushion, and then it got blown the doors open. So I'm loving it.
Yeah, that was a big home run because it kept Chapman out of the game, even though he had to get warmed up. Like, the announcers were talking about it on the broadcast. Like, even though he did have to get hot, just saving 17, 18 pitches, whatever it's going to take him to get through the ninth inning is huge when you don't have any off days.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean... We're not worried about B-whips, I think, at this point right now. It's not as... you're going to have to get guys up to be ready.
They add up, but they certainly don't add up like in-game pitches. Like, I don't know the calculations. What does one B-whip equal? What does one in-game pitch equal for B-whips? Is it like 4X?
I don't know. But Gerrit Cole didn't even have his good stuff today. You know, he was getting knocked around, and the Yankees still win.
Well,
that's a good sign.
He had his good stuff. He was striking people out, and when he wanted it, he was touching 100 miles an hour with that FU fastball that we talked about last time. But doesn't it just seem like he would just lose concentration for a batter or something, fall behind, walk a guy? Like in that fifth inning after the Yankees took the lead, he just gets in trouble with two outs out of nowhere. Like that was pretty uncharacteristic of him. So I mean,
that's why I think his command, he wasn't locating there. Yeah, he was not locating like he normally does, and that's not like him. And that's the thing. I mean, that fastball, I mean, that was a 2-0 pitch in the first inning. He got taken deep. So he's got, you know, we know he's prone to the home run ball, and he's aggressive in the strike zone because he's got the stuff and he's got the confidence that it's going to blow people away. For the most part, it does, you know, and then the other times, the ball gets hit a long way. But man, did this offense come up? And you know, Aaron Hicks with that big base hit to put them up, runners on, base knocks. They continued what they were doing. This is the hitting that has given me, you know, that level of confidence. If they can, and they've continued it into this game. So the off days didn't seem like really, you know, put much rust on them at all.
It exactly what I thought was going to eventually catch up to the Yankees, and I know it's only one game, but it's caught up to the Rays in this game, where when you got to go to multiple bullpen arms, eventually someone's not going to have a good night. Curtis for them was terrible. So I know they were still losing, but if it's a one-run game going into the ninth inning, who the hell knows what happens? So you got one guy out of your bullpen that has a bad day, and then you got a guy making his freaking major league debut in the ALDS running into the second baseman. Like, what is going on here? I feel like Kevin Cash, and once they get back to the bubble hotel, is just going to murder Curtis.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be making contact like that. You know, he was out of sorts, and the
Do you
Yankees,
blame him? Freaking major league debut in
that's
the ALDS.
Fine. I mean, welcome to the bigs. I mean, that's, you got to do it.
Unprecedented.
The thing is that at that point, like they left Cash felt like he didn't have the pulse. You know, we were complimenting the entire time Kevin Cash, and Aaron Boone, and the two guys who has the pulse of the team, who's able to make the right moves at the right time. And, you know, Cash leaving guys in, and I understand that they're in a situation now where they have to.
Yeah, you got
to. They have to do this. They're
you take know, one darling, for the team know, kind of thing.
They were talking about this for a while, but at the same time, like, the game wasn't out of hand until it was out of hand, until that ball was hit and the grand slam happened. If that out happens, then, you know, you're right in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, walking Tyler Wade in that situation is
if you walk Tyler Wade with Stanton coming up, you make a goddamn pitching change.
Oh yeah, but like the only guy warming up was the lefty rookie, and you're certainly not going to do that to the kid. Here you go, kid. Bases loaded, Giancarlo Stanton as your.
I mean, he didn't have to be the only guy warming up. That's the thing.
I know what you're saying.
In a 5-3 game, you'd think that you're trying to keep that game at bay and give your give your guys an opportunity. It was almost like he was like, "That's it."
I know. It's like it's a wrap after two runs, and I don't know. That's obviously not what he was thinking. He's just trying to get through the inning with Curtis, because I think this no days off thing is a huge, huge factor in these series. Like, bigger than maybe we even anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, like we're looking at what the bullpen has done all year long for the Rays, you'd think that they would be a team that could handle that better than most.
Yeah, they certainly are, because their bullpen pitches more innings than their starters. They said that on TBS tonight. Their bullpen is one of the only ones, I think maybe the only one in baseball, that threw more innings than their starting pitching. So they should be set up for it. But it's still it's not low leverage innings against the Boston Red Sox or the Baltimore Orioles. It's high leverage innings of the ALDS.
It's also every single day. It's not like during the regular season, you do have your days where your pitchers will go a little deeper, or you have an off day, or, you know, one of the guys has a day off.
So apparently Snell has never got past the sixth inning this year. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, so they were saying that the deepest Snell ever went into a game this year is six innings. And like that it was like 90-something pitches was his high.
Well, I mean, when I was talking with Kevin, the guy that covers the Rays that was on yesterday's show, he was talking about the fact that Kevin Cash has had a quick hook pretty much all year long and has pulled him with, you know, with 70 some pitches in the sixth inning, basically all about the third time around. Yeah. That's what they subscribe to. They're not going to allow that to, they're not going to be beat by the third time around. They're going to bring in their bullpen guys.
Well, Snell was like, you could tell he couldn't get a fastball by anybody. And that first at bat to lead off the game with LeMahieu, where it was like, I think a 9-pitch at bat.
Yeah, it was a great at bat.
Lines a single right up the middle. And you're like, okay, it's going to be a good night because at least he had a long at bat there, battled through the at bat and got a hit. And I'm sure everyone was thinking, oh, here comes Judge. He's going to hit a 2-run home run just like he did off Bieber. Didn't happen, but still they got the run in. But it's like he got a lot of weak contact with his changeup and his slider and stuff. But anytime he threw a fastball, it was either a ball or it got hit hard. Higgy hits a home run.
Higgy had a good day, man.
Frazier bomb, ambushed Snell. So it seems like they're doing the platoon split with Gardner there, because as soon
righty
as
lefty,
soon as a righty came in the game, they got Gardner in the game. And I mean, I don't know. I guess you can't argue with that strategy.
It was the sixth inning, I think. Was it the sixth inning when he made the pull?
It was the fifth inning.
Or was it the fifth inning? It was the fifth inning. So it was early. Definitely going in once Snell was out of the game and they didn't have, you know, they have a whole bunch of righties.
It was the sixth inning because I think Snell pitched five innings. So it must have been the sixth inning, top of the sixth when he
pulled. Either way, it was early. It was pretty early. It wasn't like just a defensive replacement for the rest of the game. It was that, but it was also the fact that they have a whole bunch of right-handed pitchers that are going to be coming out of the bullpen that just match up better with Gardy anyway.
I wouldn't have minded if Clint got one more at bat, but whatever. Like, I was happy to see him in the lineup.
Yeah, me too. I mean, when you look at the matchups, like, he's clearly doing that. He's clearly going for, you know, with Snell on the mound, you're putting the righty up there. They wanted to stack the lineup as much as possible, and they did. And then in the, you know, when there was an opportunity to get rid of, when Snell was gone, they made the change. So you clearly see who's going to be playing defense in the outfield at the end of the games. Today, they made the moves all over. I mean, Tyler Wade, who played a damn good second base, made a couple really nice plays, went over to second. LeMahieu went over to first.
That's obviously not new, but...
No, it's not new, but that's going to be the case. And if Frazier, for whatever reason, is playing and starting the game, I mean, we saw how early it happened for that change to happen. So those defensive replacements are going to happen practically anytime there's a lead.
Glaber had a couple shaky moments at short. Nothing actually cost him, but like that first play of the game or the first batter of the game for Cole, if Voit doesn't get his toe back down, that's a leadoff error. It's just like, sure that.
Yeah, and the second one, the other one in the hole was a tough play.
I'm not even talking about that. It was the throw and it was the bobble that they could have actually maybe gotten a double play on in, I think it was the eighth inning.
That was the Tyler Wade nice little...
Yeah.
It was a tough play, actually. He had to get rid of that ball pretty quick. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Glaber's going to hit. That's always going to impact this game. That's always going to be an impact on this team. But Urshela made some nice plays over there. Again, dude come off his butt, just throwing over. Again, range to the glove side. Mm-hmm. Proving the nerds wrong. Just out there, he's a nerd killer right now. Just saying.
Well, no, he's
cementing
not.
Himself as a.
He has to dive because he phenomenal. Doesn't get to the ball. We already discussed this.
Yeah, but he dives beautifully and then sits on his butt and sends it.
Also, I never said he was a bad defender, but they did put him in the same conversation.
The nerd said it.
They did put him in the same conversation as Nolan Arenado and Matt Chapman, and that's just patently false.
Well, it's fun to talk about.
I guess so. I guess it's fun to talk about, especially when he's hitting, because when he's hitting and playing really solid defense, then of course he's an extremely valuable player.
But you mentioned a couple minutes ago the LeMahieu first at bat. I mean, that's just having that guy.
It was a tone setting at bat.
Huge tone setting at bat. I mean, just this is what we're here for, grinding out that at bat. I mean, you could tell that he wasn't going to get him out. He was either going to hit the ball at somebody or he was going to walk. That was going to happen. If he was going to get, if he wasn't going to get a base hit, it was going to be hit at somebody. But he wasn't striking out. He was up there to do something. And it was no, you could tell just from the beginning of it, like he was locked in and Snell was not fooling him.
And yeah, Snell has had a couple of decent games against the Yankees in the past, but it's never anything where he seems untouchable.
He doesn't scare me.
No, I agree. He doesn't scare me.
And he looks
me.
Like a jackass.
It's not even like they crushed him. I mean, they five innings, four runs. But like, so Cole just had to be better than that. And I want to talk about Cole in a second.
You guys have counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you're craving right to your door. Ordering is extremely easy. You open the DoorDash app, you choose what you want to eat, and the food is delivered right to you safely outside your door, and you can now choose their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. I use it all the time. It's a terrific app, and there's a lot of local restaurants that you can get as well. There are way more than you expect that are included with DoorDash. Bevan and I use this app probably twice a week, so definitely recommend going on and buying it, especially with the code that we're about to give you. Many of the local restaurants are still open for delivery, so you can just use DoorDash, select from their menu, choose the food you want, and they bring it right to you, and it usually happens pretty fast, and you can track the people as they come, which is fun to know, because now you know when your food is coming exactly to the minute. So right now, all of our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fee with their first order of $15 or more. Just download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. There's also the baseball playoffs going on, maybe you've heard. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use our promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, to get your welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So I think the biggest decision, and maybe it didn't end up being a huge decision because of the final score, but was not bringing Cole back out for the seventh inning. I thought with the way he finished the sixth inning, blowing guys away, that was maybe his best inning of the night. He was under 100 pitches. I thought there was no way he's not coming out for the seventh inning. But do you think Boone was getting a little ahead of himself thinking, okay, I want to save 15 bullets now in case I need it in game five?
I don't think at that point in the game it matters as much for game five. Like, I think that if he goes out there and throws another 15 pitches, that it's not going to make a difference if he's coming out or what's happening. And the game's too close at that point for you to make a decision based on a game that far away, I think.
No, I agree with you. That's a defensive, that's like managing defensively rather than going and winning the game. And the bullpen pitched great, so you can't.
The bullpen pitched well. Like, this is where those decisions become, you know, easy to commend, because the guys do their job when they come in. The guys that are supposed to do their job do their job.
But the risk is that now you have to use them every day. So
yeah, I understand.
So when you have Cole on the mound cruising in the sixth inning, you send him back out there for the seventh inning, so you don't have to use Green and Britton potentially 3 days in a row. That's the only second guess.
I don't think Boone liked his stuff, to tell you the truth. Like, I think that he was showing that he could be hit, and also showing that he was not able to, he didn't, I'm not going to say not able to, but just didn't have his best control. And I think when you're going back through the order again,
I think he would have gotten to, if he had gotten the next three guys out, I think he would have gotten to the leadoff hitter again, right?
Well, and then also the pitch count, he was 97. At 97 pitches. That's for all intents and purposes, that's 100 pitches.
Okay.
You're talking about at 100 pitches, bringing the guy out and not having the best stuff of the night. So it's a really, for me, it's a tough second guess. I understand what you're saying about the no days off thing.
That's the only reason. If there's a day off after game two, it's not a question.
That's the other thing, is that I feel like these guys have to try, they have to manage because of the no days off, but they don't want to be forced into situations to not put who they think should be out there because of that, if that's making any sense.
It's a tough bet
because in that stance, like, you want a rested Chad Green to go out there and pitch that inning. You have confidence in Chad Green, pitch well. Like, that's the way it's supposed to go. That's the blueprint. If you're rolling Cole out there because of you have to save another guy another day, if this thing goes beyond three games, then now you're not playing for that out.
It's Garrett Cole. It's not Tanaka. It's not.
I understand
Happ,
that,
it's not
but
Garcia.
There were signs that he didn't have his best stuff, so it was a risk.
I guess. I mean, if I'm gonna take a risk with one guy, I'm gonna take it with Garrett Cole.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's definitely true. And the other thing is like, you do go 100 pitches, like, that you're only going one more inning. There's no way you're going
beyond that.
So,
in fact, you're probably only going three batters. Like, so then you get into a situation where, well, what if he allows the first
two guys to reach? Do you want your clean inning that you always ask for?
Well, again, I'm going to take that chance with Garrett Cole and only Garrett Cole. I'm not taking that chance with any other starter on the roster.
I got you. But either way, yeah, you could probably look at that. I mean, this is what we did. We break down the second guesses, the potential second guesses, but it worked. And I like the fact that they came out and just poured more runs on. And they just, you know, they buried them. Chapman didn't have to throw, like we said. You get Sessa in there getting some innings. You know, why not Nick Nelson instead of Sessa?
Why not throw
somebody else to just eat it? Sessa at least has the potential to be decent.
You're saying like Sessa could be the fourth guy they're looking for?
He could be. He could be an X factor.
Could be. This bleeds into the surprising news that Devi Garcia is getting the start in game two and not Tanaka. And I think, you know, you're going to be relying on your bullpen pretty much every day when Garrett Cole starts. But like Devi Garcia, you get 5 innings out of Garcia, maybe 6 innings, and
he's gone 7 innings a couple times this year.
If they're not going to push Garrett Cole to 7 innings, are they going to push Devi Garcia 7 innings? No. You know they're not.
No,
and Tanaka's also not a guy that you push 7 innings at this point, and neither is J-Hap. So it's an all. I don't fully understand why they're doing this.
So the roster came out after we talked.
They took Kratz off, and they added Kratz off. King. That's the only change.
And they added Michael King. I mean, that was interesting. The fact that Michael King was the guy that came on to
me.
We
talked about it that too. Like, when is Michael King going to pitch?
He's a mop-up.
17th inning, or it's a 10-run game. Like, that's when he's going to pitch.
Right. But it's also, it's just like it's limiting any upside for me. I don't know. Like, I'd rather have Clark Schmidt there than
Clark Schmidt didn't pitch enough this year to even.
I guess,
him
but
being on the roster.
It's lightning in a bottle at the same time. But you're looking at that, so they have a couple more long guys that they could go to fill some innings if they need. Jordan Montgomery's there. You know, now they have
He's the first long guy.
Michael
King,
Sessa,
right?
Who?
Monty.
Monty probably is the first long guy. Now that Devi Garcia is starting tomorrow,
and
I would say that Montgomery's
going to
be
game four.
Montgomery might even be warming up, like, you know, if the first sign of trouble with Devi Garcia.
So you think they're piggybacking tomorrow, and then I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the strategy, because like sometimes I say keep it simple, stupid. Garrett Cole's your best starter; he starts game one. Tanaka's your second best starter; he starts game two. Like, why are you getting cute?
Maybe there's an opportunity where if they're going up against Glasnow, they know that Glasnow has the potential to shut this lineup down. And if they can catch lightning in a bottle with Devi Garcia, roll through the scenarios here and the potential thinking. Because now you have a guy that you trust in Tanaka going up against Morton. You know, Morton's not unhittable by any means. He's a good pitcher. He's a veteran guy that knows how to navigate a lineup. But to me, that Tanaka Morton is a better matchup, and you're gonna potentially score some more runs there.
But that's again kind of managing defensively.
It's strategic. I don't know if it's defensive because Davey Garcia pitched very well, you know, when he was up. He had a couple bad starts towards the end, but
this is not about Devi Garcia. This is not about me saying anything bad about Devi Garcia.
No, I know. I'm just looking at, I don't think it's playing defensive in that sense. Because you're going three games. That's,
of course,
that's
you're
happening.
Going three games.
You're going three games. Both of these guys are pitching because clearly they're saying Davey Garcia over J-Hap. So,
oh, yeah. Which is kind of funny because if you just look at numbers, J-Hap was better than Devi Garcia.
Yeah, again, this lightning in a bottle thing. I think this is there's something there with the way that Boone's thinking. At least I think there's a potential.
So you think there might be a piggybacking scenario where it's like two times through the order max for Garcia, and then so four to five innings, and then get Montgomery in there, or see where you are after four or five.
I think see where you are, but they're gonna have to have a fire extinguisher ready early. And if Davey Garcia gets in trouble early on, then, you know, theoretically he could come back too.
I saw someone talking about this in the BP Facebook chat. If you are down 0-1 instead of up 0-1 right now, do you think they change their mind on this? Because that's a must-win game if you're down 0-1. Do you want Garcia in a must-win game or you coming back with Tanaka? Like, we can't go down 0-2 right now. So right. It's kind of interesting they even announced it before the game. Like, they announced it at what was it, 6 p.m. East Coast time, 5 p.m. East Coast time? Like, what was it? They could have announced it after the game. It's not that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely a risk. Shows a lot of confidence in Davey Garcia. A lot of damn confidence in Davey Garcia when you have Tanaka. And, you know, maybe that's also telling on what they think of the potential of Tanaka, that he's not that same guy.
You can't use that Cleveland start.
I'm just saying.
Okay, do you like the move?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if I like it or not. I like that. Look, I think that if you're gonna go lightning in a bottle with one game, it's glass now. Because Davey Garcia could go out there and shut them down. He could. He's got the ability to do that. And, you know, maybe this is like a, you know, just an opportunity for him to rise up and really really take it. Like, I think they could make a movie after this game.
You're not
they
saying anything tangible here, though. Like, Tanaka's the better starting pitcher at this point in time.
I think that Davey Garcia has better stuff. The fact that they have not seen him, like Tanaka has been seen by this team often, is a difference maker in a playoff scenario.
Who do you have more trust in to go out there and give them a good start in a playoff scenario? Tanaka or Garcia?
Well, I don't know because I've never seen Davey Garcia do that. So it's
just
an unfair question.
Say Tanaka because
I won't. I'm not going to say it.
Okay. Well,
Of course, I have Tanaka. Tanaka is the guy. But again, they're going to have to play three games anyway. Yeah. So I don't think it matters as much.
And then you'd be. Starting...
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's. I think it's more so who they're playing against, and the fact that even if you could,
well,
you could spend
that's
this...
saying an awful lot about Tyler Glass now. If that's really what they're doing, and they're not punting because they're not punting, but if they're kind of like, well, the Glass now start could go bad real quick because he could go seven shutout innings against us. He's that nasty. That's them saying an awful lot about Tyler Glasnow.
It's accurate. Tyler Glasnow has that type of stuff where he can shut down this lineup. He's done it before. We've seen him.
Well, he did it the last series they played when Cole faced him.
So
no hitter into the sixth inning.
If they're gonna try to you could spin this in the way that they do feel more comfortable with Tanaka going, and that's why they're going to throw in that third game because they think they have a better opportunity to win that game.
I put out a Twitter poll at Yankees Podcast. Do you like the move, Garcia game two, Tanaka game three? Acknowledging the fact that game one result could drastically change it, but people voted before the game. 87% said they liked it.
That's because they like the young guy. It's the young guy. The young guy.
So if this was J-Hap instead of Davey Garcia, they would have hated it. 87%.
Wait, what? You're saying if it was J-Hap instead of Tanaka?
No, if it was J-Hap instead of Davey Garcia starting game two.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which,
oh,
if you
sure.
just look at the numbers of pitchers and you take the names out of it.
Twitter would have absolutely destroyed that.
But if you just look at the numbers and take the names of the players out of it, J-Hap has the better numbers.
Twitter would have killed that.
I know they would.
They hate that.
So then that tells me, keep it simple, stupid. Why are you getting cute? Start Tanaka game two.
Well, I think the thing that was definitely going to happen, one of three games, Tanaka was pitching. So that's why I think that they're okay with going either two or three. I don't think it matters as much.
I mean, we'll see. You
know, three's a home game.
You think they're going to change dugouts?
Tanaka pitches better at home.
You think they're going to change dugouts? Are they just going to...
Tanaka pitches, there? Yeah, he's got to be on the right side, the first base side.
I don't think they're going to change dugouts. That's not good for COVID.
He's a better home pitcher, man. Numbers don't lie.
All right. Anything else you want to discuss? I mean, obviously, huge, huge win in game one. I said from the beginning of these playoffs, I think the Yankees need to win every Cole and Tanaka start if they're going to win a World Series. And so far, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. They do. And it wasn't because Gerrit Cole shoved bats down their throat either.
He was good
enough. The team picked him up. The team picked him up and they understood that. And I like that. I like the fight.
We didn't mention G-Man Choi still owning Gerrit Cole.
Holy shit. Is this possible?
I
was a He-Man fan when he was on the Yankees. More so because he was a character. And looked right, like he was exactly. And
Greg Bird, and we were like, oh my god, cast maybe of first G-Man baseman Choi is the first yeah, baseman.
The cast of first baseman that has run through that team is insane.
So,
before
first of all, so Arizona, I'm not even saying his name right. I can't for some matter. Reason I can't say it. I mean, that dude's just on fire right now. So
yeah,
he hit the ball hard every time he was up, and he could have had another hit off of Britton or off of Chad Green, whoever it was off of, but they walked Brandon Lau in front of Arizona twice in this game. Two different pitchers. Cole did it, and then I think it was Chad Green who did it. You can't be doing that going forward, because this guy Arizona is going to murder you if you do that. You cannot walk a guy in front of him. But Gerrit Cole gets two outs in the fifth inning, walks Lau, then falls, or walks Lau, gives up a hit to Arizona, then falls behind G-Man Choi 2-0. He's overthrowing to G-Man Choi. What world did we spiral into in 2020 where Gerrit Cole versus G-Man Choi is a mismatch in G-Man Choi's favor? How did we end up here?
Significantly.
It's like mental for Gerrit Cole at this point.
It has to be. I mean, how does it not?
He's hit four home runs off of Gerrit Cole this year. He has five home runs this season. What the hell is going on?
He was hitting over 500 against Gerrit Cole in his career. The guy, for whatever reason, can see Gerrit Cole. That ball, the entire way, it's a beach ball. He needs to like bottle that up and sell it to everybody else in the league. But insane. I hope he doesn't. But yeah, it's one of those weird that's baseball moments. That's baseball season moments for He-Man Choi being the Gerrit Cole killer, time and again, and knowing it going into this one, thinking it's going to be different.
Up there with confidence. Up there with confidence against Gerrit Cole. It's like when Enrique Wilson would go up there against Pedro Martinez with confidence. Except Enrique Wilson was like 4 for 15 with four singles, and everyone was going to say, Wilson's a Pedro killer.
He's getting base hits.
G-Man Choi is mashing baseballs out of the park against Gerrit Cole. Bizarro world.
It's pretty crazy.
All right.
But we can't let that be a problem in game five.
Maybe they're not going to get to a game five.
Maybe they're not. Knocking on wood.
All right. Good game
so
one.
What? You feeling good? Before we get off, tomorrow, Davey Garcia is pitching against Tyler Glasnow. Do you like the move?
No, I don't.
You ask me. You want keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, stupid. Tanaka's your second best starter. Start him in game two. I don't know why they're getting cute. Okay. I don't like getting cute.
Right. It is a little getting cute. There's no doubt about it.
No, it's definitely getting cute.
When I saw it, I was like, okay, that's...
And if they lose game two, it's a huge question. It's a huge, huge second guess if they lose game two. 1-1,
going into the... well, it depends what... I think it depends what Glasnow does. But going into...
I guess, so you're saying if Glasnow just shoves, then it's like, well, they were going to lose anyway? Like, fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying today, too.
You know how that's... You know,
but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is going into that. I think it's part of the strategy, actually.
All right. Well,
because there's a possibility that he does.
Yeah, but
and you're almost challenging your offense. You're like, you know what? He might shut you guys down.
But I also think, and like you've seen this, the offense is it's hard to hold down this offense
when it
for
goes.
Nine straight innings. Like, maybe they're not gonna today. They put up nine runs, but really it was because Kevin Cash left that reliever out there to give up a grand slam. So what if they score four runs off of Glasnow, but Devi Garcia is out in the third inning and they're into the bullpen in the fourth inning? It's like, well, now this is a complete cluster because you got cute in game two. I just think there's a lot of room for second guess here if it doesn't go perfectly to plan. And I'm not even quite sure what the plan is.
So what if it goes Devi Garcia goes 3 2/3 and Jordan Montgomery comes in and pitches three innings?
Jordan Montgomery, honestly. Like, he has not been
so you,
good
you just
enough
don't want
to,
Jordan Montgomery in the game at all. You don't want that as a viable option as like the second part of a game two start.
I will take Masahiro Tanaka as a starter for five innings over Devi Garcia piggybacked with Jordan Montgomery. That should be a last resort. That should not be a game two plan.
Well, it would be a game three plan.
Why? Why wouldn't Hap be a game three plan?
Well, because they hate Hap.
They do hate Hap, but they need to look themselves in the mirror and realize Jay Hap's probably their third best starter right now.
I got to look at what the numbers are against this team and Jay Hap, and there's just possibility those numbers aren't great. And,
sure, I haven't looked them up.
Yeah, and so Devi Garcia, kind of an unknown to these guys, is that, you know, he's a hard guy to pick up. I think the first time you face Devi Garcia is probably not an easy task.
The Red Sox had no problem
because
with
of
it.
Well, they were cheating because of his deception.
Okay.
I like the confidence of the kid. I know this is not tangible and this is purely eye test and I don't care. This is who I am.
I love his confidence too. I love his makeup. All that corny shit is great.
I love it. And I think that stuff matters. I like his stuff. I like the repertoire. I like the arsenal that he has. So you combine the bulls. You combine the fact that nobody's seen him. The fact that he's got the stuff to do it. I like it.
Yeah, you could go for the knockout blow because if you somehow scratch and claw your way to a game two win, then you have Tanaka in game three. But I don't know.
It's not a knockout blow though because of the matchups. I mean, Morton is not a cakewalk by any means. He's not the same guy he was, but he's not a cakewalk. And Glasnow certainly is not even remotely close to a cakewalk. So
yeah, we'll see. It's interesting. It's a wrinkle that I wasn't expecting. So
yeah, I don't mind it. I don't hate it.
You've talked yourself into liking it, I think.
I just like Devi Garcia, so I'm excited to watch him pitch.
Would you hate it if it was J-Hap?
I wouldn't like it as much. I'm with Twitter on this one.
It's so
there are optics for certain moves, and this is a young kid coming in, lighting the place on fire. Storylines galore. They've already chalked it up to the young Pedro thing. They would get used to hearing that to nauseam. Because they're gonna abuse the hell out of that one.
I didn't mind the TBS broadcast. I thought it was decent.
They just don't talk very much, so that was like, it's almost like they're muted a little bit. Yeah, so they're beautiful. Not. It's not. I kind of tune them out. They have voices that you can almost tune out.
Yeah. All right.
Nondescript. It's not A-Rod just like squawking.
That's it. Let's go get some sleep because tomorrow night might be a long one. Good game. Good game one.
Good
win.
Game. Good game.
We will talk to you after game two.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.